The Exodus story is a story for the ages. It's told in Christian churches, Hebrew synagogues, and Muslim mosques. And the reality is that exoduses happen every day. It's a powerful story, and over the next several weeks, as we've already been doing, in a sermon in a series entitled, Out of Egypt, Let My People Go, we'll continue looking at it and trying to understand what it has meant to God's people throughout the ages and what it means to us today. Today's message is entitled, God and the Backseat Drivers. In the Scriptures, well, God is God, the Creator, the one in charge. The theology in the Bible stories that we read basically say that in this life and in the afterlife, God is at the wheel. Now, you don't have to agree with that particular theological perspective that the Bible tends to give us in order to recognize that it is the theological perspective that the Bible tends to give us. But because of it, it's important to keep in mind when we try to understand what the writers in these Bible stories might have been trying to tell us. So, biblically at least, God is at the wheel. And honestly, that works out well because, well, the wheel of life is way too big for any one of us to be in control steering it. So, if God is the only one can drive, then like it or not, in a biblical way of seeing things, we are mostly along for the ride. Hence the title of this message, God and the Backseat Drivers. Now, back in 1991, I worked for a company in Boone, North Carolina, called Harmony Exchange. And as the company's title probably suggests, they were early leaders in sustainable and replenishable building goods. And I was just writing a user manual for a piece of software they had developed. Now, on a particularly wintry day, I was trekking in on my way to work in my red front-wheel drive Mazda Protege. Considering the poor conditions of the road, there was a surprising number of people out on the road that day. The snow was piled high on either side of the road where the plows had raked it over there overnight. And as I typically did, I picked up a co-worker of mine who had no car, and I headed along the long, windy road on the way to Harmony Exchange. Now, Rick and I both sat a little stiffly as I negotiated the icy patches on the road as traffic flew by us in the other direction of this two-way road. And just as we hit a slight turn, a car pulled out from a blind driveway on our side of the road. So I had no choice but to swerve to miss it. My car, riding on nothing but ice at that point, went into a full spin. We had completed an entire 360-degree spin before we arrived in the opposing lane of traffic, which up until this point had been a constant line of cars. So now we were looking in the perfect direction to get a full view of our own oncoming doom. There's this popular song, or at least it once was popular, by American Idol winner Carrie Underwood called Jesus Take the Wheel. Now, in that story, a woman has had a tough year and is driving home for Christmas when she hits a patch of back ice. She just throws up her hands and says, Jesus, take the wheel. And while she does somehow survive the potential accident, the song goes on to explain that she wasn't just asking Jesus to help her out of her current situation. She was asking Jesus to take control of her life. The song suggests that she wasn't doing such a great job of it on her own, and so she takes her hands off the wheel, both figuratively and literally, and lets God be in control. Now, I, on the other hand, while facing this oncoming doom after hitting a patch of ice, well, I chose not to take my hands off of the wheel and ask God for some kind of divine intervention in the style of Richard Petty. As a matter of fact, I would strongly suggest that none of us take our hands off of the wheel in order to take a moment to pray. For me, instincts kicked in. If I had thought about it, I probably would have just hit the brakes, which would have been a very bad idea. Instead, with a line of traffic barreling down on us, I floored it. I managed to fishtail back into our original lane. Now, Rick and I made it into work on time with a little more than a bad memory and probably much higher blood pressures. Now, the interesting thing about this story is, before that incident, Rick, who didn't have a driver's license, was the worst kind of backseat driver you can imagine. He complained about everything, about how long I sat at a red light before turning right, about the fact that I wouldn't drive over the speed limit. You name it, and Rick complained about it. After that near accident, though, Rick never complained again. Seriously, not even a peep out of him from that point on. Now, I don't know if he was just thankful to be alive, so complaining about the red lights and speed limits just seemed like it was a little trivial, or if he had chosen to trust that I was a capable driver. But either way, he had learned to let the person who was in control be in control. I also believe that's the ultimate message of the Carrie Underwood song, Jesus Take the Wheel. Let the one who is ultimately in control be in control. And that's a hard thing for all of us to do, admitting to ourselves that someone else is fully capable of being in control. And that's hard enough. But then relinquishing that control to them is sometimes nearly impossible. The Pharaoh in today's story has a similar problem. In today's story, we see the hardening of Pharaoh's heart when Moses says, God, Yahweh, is in control. And Yahweh says, let my people go. Pharaoh's going to have nothing to do with it. In his fight to keep control, to steer the ship, to be in charge, he takes out his frustration on the people all around him. He doubles the work of the Israelites, and he even takes to calling them names, saying, you are lazy, lazy, lazy. Happens every day in real life. Faced with trusting ourselves or trusting someone else, we frequently choose to believe that we know best. The thought of stepping out on faith and trusting in others sort of feels like taking our hands off of the wheel, and it scares us quite naturally. And then, like the Pharaoh, we can sometimes find ourselves doing less than nice things or saying less than nice things in an effort to reinforce to ourselves the correctness of what we want. In our Bible story today, when faced with someone else being in charge, the Pharaoh goes as far as to say, I do not know this Yahweh, this God. I think that brings us to an interesting question. When faced with letting go, letting someone else take the wheel, how frequently do we resist simply because we don't know that person well enough to trust them? It reminds me of a true story I heard some years ago. It goes like this. U.S. Navy says, this is Captain John Williams. We are on a course for Nova Scotia. Recommend you divert 10 degrees west over. Canada responds, acknowledged. However, we recommend you divert 10 degrees east to continue to your destination. Over. U.S. Again, I say we are on a course for Nova Scotia. Divert 10 degrees west to allow passage. Over. Canada. Acknowledge. We strongly recommend that you divert 10 degrees east to continue. Over. U.S. This is the USS Aurora, a U.S. Navy battleship. Divert. Over. Canada responds, acknowledge. This is a Canadian lighthouse. Your call. It's important to know something about the person you're talking to. Pharaoh did not know the God of Moses. And in the end, what was initially just a request for a few days to let the people go and worship becomes a full exodus. The story of how the resistance to God's will gave way to God's will and ultimately gave new life to an entire people and birthed a nation that flourishes today. Trust is a scary thing. It may be one of the most difficult things for we humans to come by. Like riding in a car, it's hard to fully give trust over to the person driving because we want to be the person driving and just feel like it would be better off if we were in control. If we could control where we were going and how, well, we can't help but think things just would be better. Years ago, there was an amazing documentary made about the skiers at the Paralympics. And told the story of Olympic athletes who had found a way to help some of the blind athletes. They wanted to give them a chance to enjoy skiing to its fullest, so they took each blind athlete with them on a slalom course. The idea was that the blind athletes would be led by the sighted athletes in tandem, so they would hold on throughout the course and around the pylons down to the finish line. All the skiers that participated, they all said that it was one of the most amazing experiences in their lives. But there's this twist that I haven't told you about yet. Some of the blind skiers wanted to go down by themselves. So some of the Olympic skiers went down in front of them, and rather than holding on to them, they gave instructions with the rhythm of their voice. And they guided the blind skiers. And the amazing thing is that all of the blind skiers made it down the hill without any major problems. Our story today challenges us to be like the blind skiers in this life and not like backseat drivers. It reminds us of how easy it is to hear our own voices over the voices of others. It reminds us of how easy it is to prefer what we want over what the love of God would lead us to. It reminds us that on our own, we don't always see very clearly where we need to go, and that on our own, we don't always have all of the skills and abilities necessary to take us where the love of God might be leading us. Like those skiers, if we want a chance to enjoy life to its fullest, we need more than just ourselves to guide us and give us direction. We need to learn to trust in others and to learn to trust in others so that we can let those in leadership positions lead. But most importantly, we need to be willing to look to the love of God and let it steer us wherever we go.